I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing. My theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story.
Is going to share a song with us in just a few minutes, but before he does, just to remind you of the things that are happening in the weeks to come, okay? Please, whatever you can get involved in during Christmas, get involved, because it's probably one of the best times you'll ever have at your church, is to get involved in the things that are happening. And it's so refreshing to have new voices and faces in the choir. And I think we're a better choir because of it. I heard Nick and Lynn tonight, and it's definitely an improvement.
Better not lie.
But don't forget the meetings that we have. I suppose, did we ever decide about the men? I know the ladies already have their Christmas thing in order, but did we ever decide where we're going, John? Were we going to Cracker Barrel or Bob Evans or something like that? Okay. Well, we'll come up with something here in the next little bit, because that's Tuesday week. Oh, Saturday. Oh, well, we're not coming to yours. Okay, remember that, guys. December 10th, we're going to find a place in a way. Even. Do what? No. Just kidding, John. We might get the bus and go up to Black Olive at Elizabethton. Anybody like Black Olive at Elizabethan? Is that good? Is it any good? Okay. We might just do that and you know, splurge. Every once in a while, you just got to splurge. Okay, don't forget that. It's going to happen. We'll make it happen, and you just be a part of it, okay? Do that. If our ushers would come forward, we'll receive our evening offering before less comes to share a song. I'm going to Bill, since we went way over this morning, I'm going to be easy on you tonight. Let's pray. John, would you bless this offering? Amen.
Once more the sounds of winter rise and slowly swell to welcome in December with carols and with bells. Once more a star is shining as if to light the way. Again the snow is flying across the fields of gray. Once more we kneel and pray to a baby in a crib, and rising to our feet we still find. We take more love away than we could ever give. Once more at Christmas time. Once more we feel the laughter now as the season starts, from here to floor to rafter, filling up our hearts. Once more we hope this season, beyond the lights and trees, the world will find a reason to live in lasting peace. Once more we kneel and pray to a baby in a crib, and rising to our feet, we still find. We take more love away than we could ever give. Once more at Christmas time. we do. More love away. We take more love away than we could ever give. Once more at Christmas time. Once more at Christmas time.
Amen. That makes you just about want to dismiss and go home. Beautiful song, Les. Once more at Christmas time. Been through a lot of them, and I still look forward to the next one, don't you? I do. And I think it part of it is the spirit that people allow to come in and get rid of some of the worldly stuff. And I wish it could be every day, year round. And it should be what we feel. A gift for me tonight is to see Brady up here receiving the offering. And what I'd like to see is Brady and Braden receiving the offering next time. No offense, John, but I think we need to get our young people involved. Yeah. And that made me feel good to see Brady up here. Thank you, Brady. Now, Braden, smile if you'd like to do it. Okay, there it is. Got it. Okay, would you like to know where we're going to be reading? Well, if you will turn to Ephesians. Now, it seems like we're there this morning. I don't know about you, but it seems like we were. You know, even though I did go a little longer because the service was different, but it was a good morning. There was a good spirit, and I feel like God gave us some good stuff. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you will look at verse 12, I believe to connect this morning's message to tonight's message would be pretty good. So we're going to allow the Word to connect us to this morning's message. If you remember all the different things that God is this morning and what He is, He gives, right? That's what He gives to us. He doesn't give us anything He doesn't have, because He's the God of all good gifts. He is. And so He gives us of what He is, which means if He blessed you with a car, that's fine, but it's a car. I promise you that if He blessed you with a good peace about your life during the day, that's much better than a car. If He blessed you with a $1 million home and He gave you hope for eternity is much better than the $1 million home. So what He is, He gives from, and we receive from it. So tonight I want to talk about a spiritual maturity by using the scriptures that I've gotten out here. I want you to know what it's like to be mature. A mature person thinks differently. You're more solid when you're mature, right? I mean, we see that in young people. Some mature quicker than others. And it's really refreshing to see a young person change from a kid or a childlike way to becoming more mature in their life. Not even spiritual, I'm talking about, just mature in everything they do. And it thrills you, especially if you're the parent of that child. But buddy, I tell you what, when you get a young person saved and you start seeing a change in them in wanting to read God's word, wanting to have a prayer life, wanting to do those things that God would say, hey, that's what I want you to do, and you see that, it's there's nothing better. And I just believe we need to become people of discipleship and disciple our young people into doing that. Encouraging them. Remember that word this morning? Encourage them. So I think that's where spiritual maturity comes in. And I look for spiritual maturity in the church. It's so important to have. And as this church continues to go and grow, you're going to need spiritual maturity, because as the years go by, more and more things are going to take place in this world that's going to call for spiritual maturity, so that this church can be settled and sound, and that's what we want. Emotion is wonderful. I love emotion. I love all the different emotions. But I know that sometimes emotion is not what we need. What we need is good, solid, sound, biblical teaching and preaching, and living by what is good and sound and living. Okay, so look at verse 12, and we'll read that, because this doesn't give you the definition necessarily of spiritual maturity, but it sure is close to it, and it's good. So listen. In verse 12, he says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." That's three. If I had a message to preach tonight other than what I'm preaching, I would preach on the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and edifying of the body of Christ. What a message. But let's move right along. "Till we all come in the unity of faith." Now don't rush this reading, because this is absolutely good stuff. Amen? Amen. So he says, "Till we come in the unity," that's us. I want to be in unity with you. And you want to be in unity with each other. As we decide things that we can do as a church, we want to be unified about that. And unified doesn't mean we're in the same building. Unified means that we have the same mindset. We have the same heart for what we want to see happen. So he says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." I'm going to give you a little illustration right here. There are people out there in Christendom that have musical groups that they will go and put on a show for you for about $2,000 and put on a fabulous show. But is that what he's talking about right here? I think it's what he's talking about. He says, see, what they'll do is they carry in a doctrine unbeknownst to you, and it is a wind of doctrine that you just feel the breeze, and you don't know what it's doing. I'm not saying everybody does this. I'm just giving you an illustration that there are people in the work of the Lord that are not in the work of the Lord. Okay? If that makes sense. "By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." I want to see the increase in the body. But I would never sacrifice the number of the body for the growth of the body.
Yeah.
I prefer to see the growth of the body.
Yeah.
If you give me five people who are growing and we grow 20 in number and it's not the growth of the body, it's not worth it.
Right.
I'm telling you, those that have grown spiritually are going to reap the benefits of that, but the congregation is not. So stay unified. Grow together. It's important that we do that. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless this scripture, okay? Our Lord in heaven, thank you so much for today. I thank you, Lord, for what you gave us, what we already have to go into this next week. And we know that the weeks will go by really quickly for December. Before we know it, we'll be looking back on the last 4 weeks. And I just pray, oh God, that when we get to that point on that Sunday morning, that we observe the birth of your precious Son and our Savior. God, that we can look back and say, boy, it's been good. It has been so good because we adore him more than ever before because of what we have learned and how we have grown in our spiritual maturity. And we praise you, Lord, for every bit of this, every bit in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Spiritual maturity doesn't happen later down the road. Like some people think you get saved, and then somewhere down the road a switch is thrown on, and that's when you begin to mature. You actually begin to mature the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the starting time. There is no lag there. There is no vacancy there. You start when you accept Christ as your Savior. When you choose Christ, you choose a life of spiritual maturity. You do. Or otherwise, you're not thinking right. When you were born again, you accepted that. And when you were born again, you accepted the person who's going to take you in to spiritual maturity, because we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And after you're saved, God the Holy Ghost becomes your mentor. He becomes everything you need to take you where you need to go in your spiritual life. Don't ever try to get it out of a book without the Holy Spirit guiding you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good books, and I've got them. I try to give away Max Lucado books. I've got a slew of them, and if any of you'd like to have a Max Lucado book, you're welcome to it, because they're really good. How many of y'all read Max Lucado? If you don't have some of these, come over to the house, and we'll look through them, and I'll give it to you. Because I think Max Lucado books are good to read and share with someone else, because they're short stories. A lot of people don't want to attack a 300, 400-page book, but they will take on short stories during that time. So it's good to do that. And I know he's a Christian faith. He's not a Baptist. He's not a Methodist. He's not a Presbyterian. He's of the Christian faith. And by the way, I am going with the lady who came from Border View Christian Church. But she went there with her mother, who was not a Christian. You have to be careful how you say that. She came from the Kingburg Free Will Baptist Church early on. Then she went to Eastside Free Will Baptist Church. But it happens like this. A person meets another person, and that person went to another church. And in that case, she met a man who, she was 90-some and he was 90-some, but he went to Border View, and she went with him to Border View. Were any of y'all at the funeral, for Mabel's funeral? She was recruiting people to Border View Church till the day she died. That's the kind of woman she was. She recruited to Kingburg. She recruited to Eastside. She recruited wherever she was, because that's what she was. She loved the Lord, and she wanted everybody to love the Lord.
Yeah.
And I've got some really good friends in that church up there. So if you have any problems with any kind of doctrines and stuff like that, let me know, because I'll let you know whether it's important enough to get you all out of whack, okay? Most of the time it's not. Just pay attention to your own salvation. Just pay attention to what you know and what you believe in the Word of God, and I think you'll be just fine. Now, let's get back to where we were, because spiritual maturity is an ongoing process. You don't get it one day, this light bulb comes on, and all of a sudden you're just spiritually mature, and you're wide open, know everything and do everything, and you can, at that point in time, you could become a prophet for whatever is left. And we know that's not going to happen, right? But if you will let me take you through some scriptures, I'm going to do that. And you can mark these down and go back home and read them later for your own good. Philippians chapter 3. Are you there? Say no. Now, it could be that Scott's real quick and that he could get it on the board. I don't know. But Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Are you there? Not as though I had already attained. Listen to him now. This was a man who knew the Lord. He came to know the Lord in a miraculous way. In fact, some people have wished that's the way they were saved, that they would be better Christians if they'd been saved like him, if they'd been struck down on the road to Damascus by a great light and all these things had happened. But that wasn't the way I got saved, and that probably wasn't the way you got saved, because you hadn't been anywhere near Damascus road. So he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. So he's saying there's a process here. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Not there yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Are you able to do that? Some people are just not able to forget those things which are behind. We've got to do that. The Lord always intended for us to go forward. And if a church don't go forward, it'll die. Yeah. And if you as an individual don't go forward in spiritual maturity, you'll die spiritually. Right. You will. And there's nothing exciting about being dead. No. Not at all. No. It's not natural. God didn't bring you in this world for you to die. We can blame Adam and Eve for that. He didn't intend for us to die. So he says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. There's got to be some effort there. If you're reaching forth, you're not keeping your hands down beside folks. You're putting forth some effort to reach out. So if we're going to reach out to this neighborhood, if we're going to reach out to Johnson City or Elizabethton or wherever we're reaching out, we got to put forth some effort. Right. We've got to reach forth unto those things which are before, right in your way. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm looking at it. God's showing it to me. I can see it by faith, and that's where I'm headed. I like to see people come to church on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night with their face set that this is where I'm going, but it's more than that. It's like I want to get into the Word because I'm on a fast track forward, and I want to learn as much as I can so that I can be that spiritually mature person that we're talking about here tonight. So therefore, in order for Christian maturity to develop in your life, and I know you want it, and I do. You see, preachers don't have any cap on this, okay? We all need to mature. We all need to grow, okay? You must make a choice to learn God's Word, get into it, dig for yourself, Don't expect Preacher Dan to tell you everything, or Tom in the Sunday school class, or who else? Sandy? Well, Sandy's got the little ones. They don't expect that. They just can't wait to get there, right? But he's don't expect this Christian maturity to just blossom. You got to put some effort. You got to make a choice to get into the Word. You got to study. You got to be what God wants you to be. Allow Him to renew your mind through the Word. Don't try to renew it any other way. There's all kinds of books out there that'll tell you how to light candles and smell incense and stuff like that. And first thing you know, you'll be fine. And if we could just get marijuana okayed in Tennessee, people would be really good, right? No. They're already finding out that they were as much idiots, and I'm saying that in Colorado and those places where they okayed it, man, they're having problems like they never had before. What were they thinking? It's a mind-altering drug, and they're expecting people just to take a nip of it if they have a backache. It doesn't happen that way, and we know it doesn't happen that way. But anyway, that was just a little rabbit I chased there. So you got to allow God to come in and renew your mind, and then be obedient to what you learn. If you're not obedient to it, it's not going to do you any good. Now, if you will, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. That we did that kind of this morning, didn't we? Romans chapter 12. Now I want to read two verses, verse 1 and 2. And here's what he says. I beseech you. That's begging. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What else could we do? He gave everything for us. He made it so that we could believe on Him and go to glory and be with Him forever. What is the problem here with us thinking we don't have to do this? No, he says, it's your reasonable service. You need to do it. But he went on to say, and be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world change you. You be a spirit that changes things in this world. Because your spirit is from God Himself. If you try to conform things yourself, you're going to use your old worldly ways, and it's not going to work for anybody. In fact, you'll mess up everything. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. I like that word, don't you? Transformed. Kids, small kids have learned these. They have toys called Transformers. Y'all know about Transformers? You older people don't know about Transformers. I used to transform things into toys. When I was young, we never had all this stuff that you can order on Amazon and go to Walmart and different places to get. You had to get your own bicycle rim out there and roll it down the field, or get you an old casing. You know what a casing is. You get you an old casing, get it out there, and just ride over and over it. All day long, you could just jump on that thing and ride over. You only rode about a foot and a half across the top of it, and then you landed again, but you got right back on it and rode it again. Now, if you could get a tire big enough, you could get inside it and have your brother roll you down into the river. There's a lot of different ways that you can try not to die early in life and still have a good time, right? Yeah. So he says here in this verse of Scripture, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. You can't prove it if you've not been transformed. If your mind, your heart, and your soul's not transformed, you can't prove anything good. He says, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We want to live in the perfect will of God. We don't want to live in that will of His where He allows us to do some things sometimes just to wake us up. And He will do that. He will allow us, if we push ourselves, he'll allow us to get into that where he has to wake us up, hit us in the head with a two before, and get our attention and put us where we need to be. How many of y'all been hit in the head with a two before? I'm not talking about the one out there in your building. I'm talking about God's two before. He woke you up, in other words. You felt that. You felt like you've been hit by Mike Tyson. Okay, let's move right along, because now we see the scriptures uphold this, that spiritual maturity is the only way to go. If you're going to accept his salvation, then be mature in what you're doing. I like to watch my kids mature as they grew up. It was a blessing to see my kids mature. Then what happens is that they begin to accomplish things. Have you ever seen a small child accomplish very much that's going to last for a long time? It's not where they live. They don't live in big accomplishments. That's not where they live. They live in trust in you, and that's a good thing. They live in trust in you and just taking the day as it comes to them. And whatever food you give them, that's what they eat. Well, we got some crybabies, but if you allow that to happen, that's on you. But I don't mind telling you, that bugs me to no end to have kids. I don't want that. Eat it. I had one, and I bless her heart. She did not like peas. Did not. She would gag and choke and everything else, and we'd try our best to get her to eat peas because we knew it would make a better person out of her. It didn't exactly work that way. But there's accomplishments that happen in a person's individual life and in a church when we began to grow. Amen? And I expect to see more and more of that. I'm excited about Liberty Fellowship Church. I don't mind telling you. I'm excited about Liberty Fellowship Church. And I can see the years to come because I'm seeing more excited, younger faces. Nothing about an old face. I kind of like mine. But there are younger faces that are involved more. There are more kid faces showing up. I'm excited about what's happening, folks. I am. So let's keep it going, okay? So what are the things that mark spiritual maturity? There are some things that you can look for. Spiritual maturity is learning how to walk in your obedience to God himself. Now, how do you know what God wants you to do? If you have one of these, you need to read it. Because it's just like a manual that I gave Doris this morning on her new washer and dryer outfit down there. I gave her a manual that tells her all about it and parts. It's got parts list and everything. And I'm telling you, God's word gives us every detail in what to do to mature in our Christian lives. And he even gives us a parts list. Huh? It's perfect. His manual is absolutely perfect. It needs absolutely nothing. Now, if you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. Are you there yet? You're getting close, I can tell. Just remember, it's Galatians, Ephesians, and it goes on like that. Okay, Galatians 5, 16. Now, I'm going to read verse 25 also, but I want you to see a word that's in both of them, okay? Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean you close your eyes and flap your wings and look like something you aren't. That means you walk in the Spirit, and if you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking in what you've learned from this word right here, because this word is authored by the Spirit of God. He is the author. These men that wrote, Paul was a writer, but he wrote what the Holy Spirit said to write. It wasn't his thinking. He just wrote what God told him to write. So he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in it. Learn it and walk in it. Obedience. Now, what was the word? Well, let's read verse 25 and we'll see the word that you pick it out for me. If we live in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, what word is in both of them? Walk. I heard somebody say walk. You get the prize. Who was that? Yeah. Okay, that's the word. Now, I don't know what the prize is. I'll have to let you know next year. But the word was walk. Walk in verse 16 has a different meaning than the walk in 25. Walk in verse 16 means to walk with the purpose in view. You see what needs to be done, and you're walking toward it. I used to work in the mall for quite a few years, and I'd have people tell me all the time, you look like a man on a mission. Because that's the way I walk. I think I walked like my dad walked. He walked with his shoulders back and his head up, and he walked with a brisk walk. He felt that was the way you showed you were alive, is that you had a good brisk walk, and that's the way I've always walked. And say, you looks like you got you're a man on a mission. You got something to do. I always did. I knew where I was headed, and I wanted to get there and get it done. I wanted to be like Jimmy. I'm not sure about that walk, Jimmy. But I wanted to get there. I want to be a person who was walking with a purpose in view. And I want this church to walk with a purpose in view. I want you to know what you're going to do and then do it. Now, in verse 25, when he used the word walk here, it's not the same. It's walk like one step at a time. It's a little bit more precise. When he says walk there, it is step, one step at a time. So you make sure that you're not stumbling. You're taking one precise step at a time. Watch where you walk. Have you ever had anybody tell you that? We get around a barnyard and somebody will say it to you. Watch where you walk. If you come to my house before I mow in the summertime, watch where you walk in the backyard, because I haven't cleaned it up and I've got two dogs. And we call them landmines. And it could be that you might step on a landmine. Then your life would be shot, right? So he says, be sure you walk with a purpose. Be sure you walk precisely. You know where you're walking. You're watching where you're stepping. This is good stuff, folks. It's for spiritual maturity. If we're going to be what we need to be, we need to do this. Step one step at a time. The person that's going to help you to do that is the Holy Spirit himself. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. He is a person. God the Father is a person, God the Son is a person, and God the Holy Spirit is a person. They are three, yet they're one. And since believers are indwelt by the Spirit, he's there, he moved in. If you're saved, he moved in. You can't deny him. Don't try to hide him. If you try to hide him, you're going to choke to death. Amen? So they should walk under his control. Let him do the controlling. And I promise you, he'll do it. Now, how can you learn to walk in the Holy Spirit's control? Under the Holy Spirit's control. How can you learn to do that? Well, you study God's word. That's it. That's where it is. How do I know that? Well, let's go to 2 Timothy. Now, these are scriptures you've known all your life. I'm just trying to put them in a position where you can say that's never saw that before. So go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. How many of y'all know where that's going? Of course you do. I heard somebody say something. So he says, study. Now this is not just reading. I am so glad that people read the Bible through five times in a year. I have people tell me I've read the Bible through so many times, you know, during the year. And I'm happy for them. How much of it grabbed hold of your life, and do you remember, did you retain? How much of that? I'm for reading. And by the way, every time you would read it, you'd get something new, I'm sure. But he doesn't say read. He says study. Now, you tell me what it means to study. When my dad used to say, well, I'll study on that. You know what that meant? I'm going to give it some thought. I'm going to dwell on it for a while. I'm going to let it roll back over again. And then I'll study on it, and I'll let you know another day. And I've always said, if somebody's offering you a good deal and you can't sleep on it and pray about it and hold it and dwell there a little bit, if they're trying to push that, don't mess with them. Okay? Walk away, because they're entrapping you and you know it. Because you all know that. You're smarter than I am about that. Well, maybe not. I don't know. Okay, so he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. By the way, you don't have to be approved to me. You don't have to be approved to anybody. You've got to be approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I've got a book. It's called Rightly Dividing the Word. And I love that book. I bought it years and years ago. It's a Clarence Larkin book. Have you all know anything about Clarence Larkin? It's a Clarence Larkin book. He wrote books on Daniel. He wrote on Revelation. He wrote on the spirit world. He wrote on a lot of different things, and I've got them all. But this one, Rightly Dividing the Word, and that's exactly what God told us to do. Rightly divide the word. Make sure that you, Clarence Larkin, you can't get them anymore, honey. They're out of print. Okay, I tell you what, though. I'll gift mine to you one day if you outlive me. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, rightly, that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's so important, folks, that we do exactly that. If we're going to grow, that's where we're going to be. So, how do you do it? That's exactly how you do it. You say, is that it? Well, no, it wasn't. It really wasn't. Look at chapter 3. This is good. I wouldn't keep you here longer if I didn't believe this. 3:16. All scripture. Not some of it, all scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Don't you like profit? I love profit. Yeah. For doctrine, for reproof. In other words, if somebody asks you what your doctrine is, don't tell them Baptist. Don't do that. Or if you're a Methodist, don't tell them Methodist doctrine. Presbyterian doctrine, Church of God doctrine, Church of Christ, Church Christian Church, Pentecostal doctrine. Don't tell them that. If it's not biblical doctrine, it's not worth a dime. Amen? So he says, it is profitable for doctrine, but he didn't stop there. It's profitable to reprove you. It's profitable for reproof, for correction. It will correct us. Amen? It will. For instruction in righteousness. Good stuff? Spiritual maturity. It's where it takes us. Now, it should be a priority for all of us. It really should. But I've got one other little thing, and it's 6:51. You ready? Living in Christ Jesus every day. make it your point to get up in the morning and say, Lord, I want to live in you today. And I want you to live in me. Amen. I'm yours and you're mine.
That's right.
And that's where I want to live. Spiritual maturity. You say you got scripture for that? Thought you'd never ask. If you will, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm just going to read straight through because I don't want to be like this morning. Y'all say he never stops. Right? Okay. 2 Peter. Well, I had it and then let it slip. Let me get back to it. Okay, here we are. Chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. Boy, that word all's been in here all day long, hasn't it? That pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Live in that tomorrow. If you lived in it today, praise the Lord. If you're going to go out tomorrow and live in it, live in his promises tomorrow, because they're the same. They'll never be any different. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Go home and read those again slower than I just read them, and stop and ponder on each one of them. For if these things be in you and abound, when you go out in the morning, if they're abounding wherever you go, they make you that ye shall neither be barren. You're going to have some fruit in your life, folks. You're not going to be barren. There's going to be fruit on that tree. Barren nor unfruitful, same thing, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Don't want to be there, do we? I believe I can honestly say that we prefer to live in a life of victory. I used to watch the Olympics. Y'all ever watch the Olympics? You ever see that one where the guy's going down this long on these skis, and he's going down this long chute, and he's going to fly through the air when he gets down there? I've always wanted to do that. And when he gets down there, it doesn't end well. The something of victory, the agony of defeat. I never wanted to taste agony of defeat, and I certainly don't want to taste agony of defeat in my Christian life. Do you? When I hear these guys who sang songs this morning, and I get into it. I don't know about you, but Henry's song this morning was spot on. That song Les sang tonight was spot on. Our choir song was spot on. Everything this morning was a blessing. I want to live in that, but not just on Sunday morning. Monday. Monday through Saturday, and then come back. Well, we come back on Wednesday night, but the times we aren't here, let's live in it. That place of victory, okay? Now, one other verse of Scripture, one other reading, and, you know, as a child of God, we make choices, right? When you become a child of God, you're given that ability through the Holy Spirit of God to make choices that are good for your life. But you can also make choices that are bad for your life, and that's not where he wants us. So if you will, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, and then I'm going to let you go home in about 30 minutes. Hebrews chapter 13, and here's what he says. Don't you just love Hebrews? He says this. Look at verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace. Oh, that sure takes you back to this morning, doesn't it? Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. Now if somebody asks you if you're perfect, you tell them yes. Okay? You tell them yes, because you are. Now you're not perfect in your nature. I know that. I know Joe's not. I know I'm not, and I know none of us are, but I'm perfect in Him. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Now, this is what you're going to do tomorrow, because this is how we live in this spiritual maturity. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. I want to be that tomorrow, don't you? I mean, on my way home. But in the morning when I get up, I want to go out being a person who's well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Let's bow our heads. That's a growth manual. And it's good for us, all of us. And I'm looking back across this congregation, and I see people who I believe from the very bottom of my heart are ready to go to heaven. If you aren't, and you would like to give your heart and life to the Lord, you can do that tonight. You don't have to leave here not saved. You can leave here saved and ready to go to heaven. Is there anybody? Lord, we thank You for this night. We thank You for Your word. Oh, Your word is so powerful. Oh, it's so sharp. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, and it cuts asunder. Lord, it's a healer. It's a bright, shiny light that does not cast a shadow. And we thank You for it. And Lord, You've been good to us today. And we want to go out tomorrow and we want to live for You. We want to mature more tomorrow than we did today. And we're going to praise You for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.